So yesterday I spoke about the shenanigans Signal and the Signal Foundation were getting up to, and I'm going to talk a little bit more on communication in the free software world and also in the corporate world as well, or the commercial world, or the world of commercial communication software, I guess. So I do apologize in advance if I'm retreading over some old ground, but it's been something I've been thinking about a lot lately. So I spoke about the trepidations of having a centralized messaging platform. There are advantages, there are disadvantages. And one of the disadvantages is that you are handing a lot of control over to the service in question. Now, the commercial value of communications platforms are not actually in the platforms themselves, the software themselves, but rather the user base, right? WhatsApp is only valuable as a company because a lot of people are on WhatsApp as a company. People could switch over to Signal. If everyone who used WhatsApp switched over to Signal, that value of WhatsApp, that part of Facebook as a company, would transfer over to Signal. So the software in and of itself, providing the end user has something of a choice, and the communication software in general, it's not the most complicated pieces of technology. It seems to be replicated enough that the idea of building a messaging platform, it's hardly the frontier of technology. But the thing that brings it value is the user base of it. This is why I support decentralized communications by and large. It allows the end user more choice, more autonomy, and by extension, more freedom. It's freedom that you have to earn and work for, because you do have to understand a little bit about how your network works and functions and the actual choices that you have. And there does seem to be this leaning consensus in the corporate world that you make the end user or the consumer think as little as possible. You make things idiot-proof, something that your grandmother can use, or, you know, any number of those kind of stereotypes. But in reality, learning how to use things, particularly things in which our safety to one degree or another rests, are worth learning. We learn how to drive a car. We should learn how to use a computer. Because, you know, if you misuse a computer, you can lose all the money in your bank account. You can fall foul to a scam. You can lose a lot of your important information, or you could, lose passwords, lose money, lose your privacy. And in many cases, it can affect your personal safety as well. So I think that expecting people to be able to function in this world with as minimal education as possible is just a dangerous road to go down anyway. And it's not like people are incapable of learning. People know that there are different mobile phone providers, yet someone from one provider can send a text message to someone of another provider. So I think that this is just an example of how marketing and advertising and corporations are not necessarily eroding our intelligence, but they're giving us permission not to think about important things. And I think that is the dangerous aspect here. But further to that, take, for example, XMPP, or take, for example, Matrix. Matrix to a lesser degree, but Matrix, the protocol, is newer, and I would like to see that develop, but it is also more complex and requires substantially more resources than some of the older distributed technologies about. I like XMPP. I have a XMPP room, also known as Jabber, but I think that's an old name there. I could call it Zump. You know, it needs a catchy name, doesn't it? XMPP. It's just not going to catch on. It sounds like a technical protocol, and I think that in and of itself, you know, a little bit of marketing wouldn't have gone amiss there. But that aside, the thing about XMPP is that it does allow that autonomy and that end user choice. Right? There are services like MoveIm and Snicket and Conversation, which allow users to sign up to their services and provide them with an end client as if it was a messenger, but you can also connect with the wider XMPP network. And I think these are important services. They allow companies and organizations to provide funding for themselves while at the same time allowing end user freedom and autonomy. I think this is definitely the way to go. WhatsApp, they gain a lot of capital, their business gains a lot of value by keeping people captive on their platform. In fact, that's Facebook's business model. They don't sell anything other than people and eyeballs. And that makes you very much the commodity. And I think that that fundamentally sets you up for exploitation. Facebook is a platform that I got rid of in my life and never looked back. I do have a WhatsApp account. I don't actually use it so much as on a daily basis, but it is something that from time to time does come into use. But I think WhatsApp is at least the least insidious of the Facebook platforms, but at some point I'm probably likely to get rid of it. But the thing is, of course, is that if you have an XMPP service, right, and other people are on the service, and the service that you use does something that you don't like, you can switch to another service. And yes, while it might be some kind of hassle for other people to catch up with your new details, you don't, your connection to them is not completely severed in the same way that, for example, maybe something would go wrong with your WhatsApp account, WhatsApp account. Maybe it's even a bug in the software, which stopped you from using your WhatsApp account, and without a new phone number, you couldn't get a new one. You know, you'd be locked out of the system. Or for one reason or another, you refused to use WhatsApp because of perhaps of a security breach of Facebook. Maybe you just didn't feel like your information was safe there anymore. And let's face it, no one can blame you. But is the option there to sever yourself from other people, friends, and in some cases, family members who use that platform? Most people find themselves in a compromising position, having to choose between personal privacy, personal autonomy, personal protection, and connecting with, in many cases, their own family. I mean, Facebook, true enough, and many other centralized communications are literally providing value to their shareholders by keeping your family hostage on social network platforms, which I think is quite frankly something we should be fighting tooth and nail against. We have alternatives. We should reach out and use them. And I was having a chat with Steve about this insofar that, like, having something open source doesn't absolve it of all its sins. It doesn't make it a perfect piece of software. Signal was problematic because it was centralized, not because it was open source. And here's the thing, and let's not forget that open source, Signal were not open sourcing a lot of their code over the past year. Many people speculate or accuse Signal of doing that so that they could actually roll in their cryptocurrency the way that they have. It certainly seems like a believable story, but that fundamentally doesn't matter. The fact that Signal centralized gives it a degree of power that even if it hasn't abused at this stage, it certainly has provided an example of how it could be. So I think that having something decentralized is arguably, and having something on an open protocol is arguably more important than the software itself being open source, because it allows the end user to choose different clients, choose different servers, choose different software, while at the same time still communicating with the people that they always have. For most people, this just means the difference between choosing, you know, company A over company B, but it's still a choice and it's still a meaningful choice, while at the same time not affecting who you can or can't speak with. Communication on digital platforms now is, especially through these times, more important than ever before. Sometimes your job can depend on it, and having to compromise your software ethics and your privacy ethics and all of that kind of stuff doesn't seem right when it can be avoided. We have to make compromises all throughout life. I understand that. I'm not being naive here. But this is an area where we have the grassroots technology and the open standards, the open protocols that allow us to overcome this. And through the sheer will and power of marketing, advertising, and just branding of massive corporations, we are not winning this battle. And I think that that's fundamentally why I keep talking about this idea of the corporate world being an opposition or an obstacle to autonomy and freedom, is because it is against a lot of their interests for us to have autonomy and freedom, because it allows us to choose freedom that is not them. It makes a lot of sense, if you ask me. And this is why the open protocols are so important. It allows us to fundamentally choose. open protocols are also important regarding even centralized services within it, right? IRC is pretty centralized, right? Most people, most rooms are on Freenode. We all know Freenode as the biggest of the IRC servers. There are many, many, many dozens, if not hundreds, of other IRC servers that can be used. And if Freenode were to disappear tomorrow, people would find somewhere else to go. They'd be able to use their same client. They'd be able to use their same server software. And in fact, hosting an IRC server is, of course, very doable, very manageable, because it's very lightweight to do. I mean, fundamentally, it's only text at the end of the day. Freenode is big and centralized simply because it's just a good use of resources, because it doesn't require like an overwhelming amount of resources. It's easy for people to move to other servers should they need to. It functionally speaking, it has kind of worked itself. Freenode has not always been the largest of the IRC instances. This is a good possibility that in the future another one might take over. It doesn't fundamentally matter, because there are other instances. If I were to set up an IRC room, I don't have to use Freenode. I could use a number of others, and that would be perfectly fine. IRC arguably is a little bit dated, and I'd like to see some clients developed that would actually just modernize IRC. Even on F-Droid that I use on my phone, the IRC clients look horrendously of their time. I mean, IRC itself is a protocol. I've got the old Wikipedia up here that's been around since, I believe, 1998, 1997. It truly is, and the principles of it, as I understand, have been with us since I mean, like the 70s. Now, apparently, IRC usage has been declining steadily since 2003, which is quite a few. I would be interested to see, although there are some citation question marks over that particular number, but I don't doubt it by and large. It certainly feels as much, which I think is fundamentally a shame, because all of those people, they're not going to Matrix, they're not going to XMPP, they're going to Discord. And in fact, quite a few IRC rooms I know are just bridges to Discord, which someone has set up, which I don't think bridges are necessarily the way forward, if I'm completely honest, because they're difficult to maintain and it's not obvious when they go wrong, but you know, communications can be affected and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, but IRC is a seemingly an accessible space for a lot of people, and it's still relevant today. I believe that there are more people on the Fediverse, and the Fediverse is much more decentralized than IRC with Freenode. So maybe the IRC is, I mean, I still see a lot of value in it. There's still a lot of end user choice, and the Fediverse is still new, sort of this iteration, the post Mastodon Fediverse. There, of course, has been a Fediverse now for about 10 years, more than 10 years now, but it did start with much older software, even software predating GNU Social. So yeah, the Fediverse has been around for a while as well, but certainly not as long as IRC or XMPP. So, but the thing is, you know, I'm a big fan of the Fediverse. I think that it's a great way that the open source world, the free software world, has become, like, it has allowed communities to foster. Communities, by the way, do require to be, to a degree, fun or interesting or worthwhile to foster. So, you know, when it comes to all the posting of mad memes and all that kind of stuff, I think even posting dumb memes in the Fediverse and on, you know, any IRC channels or XMPP rooms, I think that's worthwhile. You know, keeps people engaged, keeps people interested. And I think that's, you know, that's, you know, memes have been weaponized nowadays, and you know, it's a case of meme or be memed. Is that right? You know, I'm well out of touch. I shouldn't even pretend to know what I'm on about, but I like memes. They're good. So I suppose you could say that IRC is competing with the likes of Discord, but I don't know. Like, to me, they're all competing with each other in slightly different ways. TikTok is competing with YouTube, even though they're entirely different platforms. IRC could be competing with WhatsApp in various different ways, considering that IRC has a facet for interpersonal, one-to-one communication as well. Honestly, I don't care what platform we use, as long as it's ideally, you know, like a developed open protocol. IRC is such, XMPP is such. I believe Matrix is one, but I'm not entirely certain how it works. Like, it seems very complex to me. Still getting my head around it. I know, of course, it's decentralized and it federates in, but the centralization of matrix.org, I don't think, is necessarily helping. There are many organizations and some governments that do use Matrix. I'd like to see it develop, but also one of the things is that Matrix does have a degree of centralization insofar as there aren't really that much in the way of choice when it comes to things developed outside of like the whole Matrix situation. Are there alternative web clients, for example? There are a handful of desktop clients. I know that Fractal is one, available from the Flathub store, which is really good for the things that it does. It's not as full featured as perhaps the web client, and that's fine really, because if you've got the basics down in a good desktop app that you keep running day in and day out, and you just fire open a browser when you need to do the heavy lifting stuff, maybe that's worthwhile. Maybe that's a good way of going about it. I'm sure these things develop in time as well, almost certain. But to be honest, when it comes to the basics of it all, XMPP, which has been around for a good long time now, I'm just going to look it up on Wikipedia, see how long it has been around, but so it's standard since 2000, introduced 1999, 22 years ago. It's 22 years old. Crikey, well done. Yeah, it could vote and drink in America, so how about that? And I think that the fact that XMPP is old and developed and mature and actually genuinely centralized as well. I mean, I look at my XMPP room and I see people from like servers all over the place. It's not like people are signing up on Snopitar just to hang out with me. There are people with already existing XMPP accounts, and I think that's really great as well. Decentralization, I think, is more important because it's better to have a choice of a dozen XMPP or IRC clients that are proprietary than to be stuck on one app, one client, that's open source, because even if they make changes in the open source code, you know, yes, you have the option to fork it, but more often than not, that requires a huge amount of resources and difficulty anyway. The open protocol is what to me makes the software more resilient. Now, don't get me wrong, open source software on an open protocol generally is how it works anyway. That's how the natural way of things goes, but even then, not entirely necessary. As long as the end user has choice, and as long as it's not too difficult or complex to develop, you know, an XMPP client, it doesn't necessarily matter if it is proprietary or open source. It's like, it doesn't really matter if you use IRC Cloud to connect with IRC. Yes, it's a convenient service that you're paying for. Yes, it's, I believe, proprietary, but at the end of the day, it's helping you work within an open framework, an open protocol, and then just keeping the ecosystem just that little bit healthier by participating in it. So that's just a few thoughts. Don't get me wrong, I'm certainly not saying, you know, I'm certainly a, you know, I would really only seriously use an open source XMPP client or server. Same thing with IRC, same thing with Matrix. But, you know, all things considered, if there was a really good, if the best XMPP client on Apple was a paid for proprietary app, I would be, you know, I'd may very well advocate for iPhone users to use it, especially considering that iPhone is by its nature a proprietary software stack from top to bottom. And I believe even that if an application wants to make use of the iPhone notifications, they have to pay the developers have to pay a fee. So, you know, it makes sense in certain realms there, but all things considered, I firmly believe in the importance of decentralizing these communications, because it, to me, is just not a good way to go when companies like Facebook are fundamentally allowed to stop people from communicating unless they unless they become part of the system itself. The open protocol allows people to connect with each other on their own terms, or at the very least on a choice of terms, and I think that's really good. So thank you very much for joining me. A pleasure as always. I do apologize if I've been retreading old ground over from yesterday, but it's just something that's been on my mind a lot, and I thought I would share it with you. If you do have any thoughts for things you'd like to hear me talk about in this April cast, feel free to drop me an email or something on the Fediverse. chrisware@postio.net on the email, chrisware@linuxrocks.online, available on my Gemini capsule, gem.chrisware.uk, and all of that stuff is available just on my worldwide website, chrisware.uk. So it's all links are everywhere, and you know, you can find links on my YouTube channel to all this stuff as well. You know, so it's all linked together, and you can yada yada yada. If you find me on one space, you can find me on the lot, and the chances are, if you're listening to this Aprilcast, you know me in one form or another somewhere else. So thank you very much for joining me. A pleasure as always. And until next time, I've been Chris Ware, and you've been awesome. Toodaloo.